Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He said to you, Rob Parker, he said to me, he said to everybody, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am? Looking at me like I'm supposed to get into a one-on-one battle with Patrick Beverly. I'm Kevin Durant. Your name better be nothing less than LeBron James.
I'm Kevin Durant.
And if you're talking about battling me one-on-one.
And even then, remember that shot he busted in LeBron's face?
Yes.
In the championship?
Yes.
He's done it twice. And that's why KD, is,
go ahead,
we've been talking
it.
About.
Go ahead and say it.
The best player right
is that,
now.
Is that
him and
well,
him and Harden?
Well, you hold on. Time out. When we talk about best player, I don't want to hear the words right now.
Right now, we got to talk about right now.
So right now, meaning tonight, if Giannis goes off, or tomorrow, I guess is when they play, he's going to be the best player? I don't,
No, it ain't.
What
it's
does
exactly.
right now mean? Does it mean today?
It's
does
right
it
now.
Does it mean this weekend? Does it mean for the next 2 months? Or does it mean period?
It would be like
I
me
know
saying.
It can change, but I'm just saying.
I'm the best talk show host in America right now. The show's on right now. Right now, I am. Now
that's what I'm saying. I don't want
to. In 3 hours, it might be Mike Harmon. You know what I'm saying?
You validated my point. Right now, at this very moment, no, I don't want to hear it. Because even to be honest, at this very moment, he's not.
He is. Are
because
you kidding?
He's not playing basketball right now. I mean, right now is too vague. Just say
just
the
make
best
your
player.
Point.
Now we
Let's
understand
move
it can change. We understand it can change because I think one LeBron James is going to have something to say about this next year.
I don't think so. I think LeBron will never have anything to say about this as we move forward.
Okay, that's
and I
fine.
Say that for real.
That's fine.
I think we've seen the best of LeBron
well,
from here
not
on
gonna
out.
Get any better,
from
I
here,
think.
Right. He's not going to get any better. He's only going to go the other way. And after this past
he
year,
do
what I saw.
Than he did this year, though.
Yeah, but I just don't. I don't
he
think
was hurt.
He. Yeah, but he when he played, he didn't play as well as he could have either. So I'm just saying, as he gets to be, what will he be next year? 38?
35. He turns 35.
35?
38.
No, I was thinking something else. But 35.
For me?
Moving forward, I just
I
say,
I
just think the chance of him being the best player just is not going to be there.
That's fair. But what I want to say,
that ain't
Rob,
no hate. That's
no,
just,
no, that's fair. What I want to say is that we've said it. LeBron James didn't lead his team to the playoffs this year. Injury, whatever. All right, he didn't lead his team to the playoffs. And to your point, which is correct, even when he played, he left some things to be desired. He wasn't quite LeBron James. So, that being the case, the best world, the mythical title of best player in the world is up for grabs. I've always said, you don't become the best player in the world in January. In November, in February, you become the best player in the world in playoff time.
So I'm going to ask you this. If LeBron James broke all the stats, all the numbers, all the things, everything, right?
Just say he next had, year,
say
like
he had all
back has a
ridiculous. No, I'm just meaning in general, like his whole career. Say he becomes the all-time leading
okay.
scorer, like passes Kareem,
okay.
has all these stats padded up, but he didn't win a championship. You would say he,
another championship?
No, he didn't win. I'm just saying, in his career, he didn't
no,
win.
I wouldn't say
so.
He's
he could
the
best never.
Player.
He could never be the
no.
best player. Okay,
no.
I'm just
no. one,
I'm just asking.
I mean, I, and again,
I'm just
I mean,
Will just saying
because think about it. Wilt has all the records essentially. When you talk about, he doesn't have the, you know, Kareem's got the scoring leader, but just because he played a lot longer. But when you talk about points per game. Jordan eventually passing for career points per game, but Wilt averaged 50.
No, I'm just asking with LeBron with all of his numbers. I just wonder.
Wilt's the prime example, and Wilt won two. So, no, LeBron would not be.
But we also know that the game is a little different from when he played, and then they changed.
But even then, you still had to win.
No, I'm not knocking.
There's nobody that's been considered the best player in the world or close without the championship.
I'm not knocking that either.
My point is this, Rob Parker. I think the best player in the world, the mythical title, is up for grabs. A lot of people are saying today, and you actually just said it. I don't know if you believe it.
No, I don't.
But Kevin Durant, based on his tremendous 38-point, I think 7-assist performance.
He only played
night.
He only played 20. What was he played? 28 minutes.
Blowout. He had 38 points and 7 assists, as I said, in 30 minutes.
30 minutes. I know
and
he didn't play much.
Dominant defensively as well. A lot of people saying today he's the best player in the world.
No, Harden. I'm sticking with that.
That's fine. I'm saying there are five players right now that have a chance to grab that mythical title during these playoffs. And I'll tell you what they have to do. One of them is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has to lead Golden State to another title, be dominant, be the leading scorer, and win the third straight finals MVP. Steph Curry, his teammate. I think Steph could claim it. If Steph becomes the dominant player in these playoffs for them, if Steph is the one leading them in scoring by a wide margin,
I don't see Steph in that conversation.
Wins his first finals MVP. So I got Steph in there. James Harden, to your point. But Harden has to beat the Warriors in my book. Has to beat the Warriors to get that mythical title. And then if you beat the Warriors, heck, you got to go ahead and win the whole thing. I know it's a tall order, but it's a tall order to be considered the best player on earth.
Well, because so I think because winning win does matter. Right. I don't disagree
win
with
the championship
I've always said
to validate
that.
All this great play he had in the regular season, and I think it goes to James Harden. Giannis. If Giannis Antetokounmpo can pull off the upset. Now, I'm not even going to say this. I'm not going to say Giannis has to win the championship.
Why not?
Because he doesn't have as much help as Harden. Giannis has to, and he's not as old as Harden. Giannis has to just win the East, get to the finals, and outplay Kevin Durant and be absolutely dominant in the NBA Finals. He may lose in 5-6 games, but if he's crushing, just unstoppable, and just doesn't have enough help to counter the 4 All-Star Warriors, then I'm giving it to Giannis.
I don't see Giannis in that way. I think you're giving Giannis a break. I think that he should be under the same circumstances.
Harden has had more chances.
No, I understand that.
Harden has fallen short time and time again in clutch
moments. What if he has an unbelievable run and everything, but he didn't have Harden, and it's not his fault that he loses. That Chris Paul has a terrible series, and they lose in the finals, you know, in the Western Conference Finals or in the finals or whatever. You're gonna take that away from Harden because he didn't win?
Giannis has some other things going for him. Much better, far better defender.
I'm just saying.
These are other things that you have to take into consideration.
If winning matters,
far better defender.
Winning should matter for everybody.
It does. It does, but I'm not going to hold a one man. He's the only perennial all-star on his team. Chris Paul is a perennial all-star, first ballot Hall of Famer. James Harden has more help. It's as simple as that. And Kawhi Leonard is the fifth guy. If he leads Toronto to the finals, and my point on Harden is that you do have to beat Golden State. It'd be in the second round. But get to the finals. If you beat Golden State, why can't you beat Milwaukee? That's my thing. Why can't you beat Toronto?
I don't know. I heard it all the time. When LeBron went to the finals, everybody doesn't count it.
And kept losing to Golden State.
No. I'm talking about when 2007 when they went. And that was my argument. Well, you got to the finals. You beat everybody to get there. And then so you can't say, you can't count that one. No, because had LeBron won that in 2000?
I don't discount
it. No, I'm just saying. There are people who say, you can't count that one. I said, so if he would have won that championship in 2007, would you have counted it?
No, what you're saying, I do think LeBron became the best player in the world in 2007.
My only point is that's you can't use that as a crutch if he loses.
I don't discount it.
It's like the what you call right.
It counts on his record.
Because if he wins it, they count it, right?
I mean, I don't look at it like, oh my gosh, what a shame LeBron James.
I didn't say that. All I'm saying is that
it counts.
It counts. You can't say, well, take that one away. No.
Right.
Because had he won it, you would count it.
Right. So Kawhi Leonard is the fifth guy. And he has to lead Toronto to the finals. And I put him on the same boat as Giannis. Doesn't have to beat Golden State, but has to ball out. Outplay Kevin Durant. And just, it's clear, he just doesn't have enough help.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's time for Celebrity Corner.
Oh my God.
Time now for The Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
Our next guest is such a favorite of ours that he is the first and to this point the only person to be on Celebrity Corner twice.
Not once, but twice. It's like New York. So nice. New York, New York. So nice. They named it twice.
And that's fitting because he's from New York. He's an actor, director, author, and host of one of the hottest podcasts out there. I am Rappaport. It is Michael Rappaport. What's up, man?
What's up, Mike?
How you guys doing? How's it going, fellas?
We're great, man. We are great. And there's so much to talk. I know you want to talk NBA.
I got a quick question I want to get started. Yeah, let me just start right here. What do you make the playoffs so far, Mike? I think they've been really good. I know there's some blowouts last night or whatever, but the ratings are down big time. What are you thinking? Are people watching or just they haven't gotten into it yet because it's the first round, and the first round is usually not that good? What do you think is going on? The ratings are down 26% so far.
You know why, Rob Parker.
You know what, Chris? And I mean, I think, Rob, the ratings, obviously, it might have something to do with LeBron, but, I mean, he didn't play in every series in the first round last year.
Right.
As far as the way the games have been, I think there's so many emerging stars. There's so many great games. We're watching the sort of, I think, underappreciated greatness of Kevin Durant last night. Mm-hmm. Who I feel like he's never in his entire career, when he was at OKC and, of course, with the Warriors, he's never been able to have a full green light an entire series or even an entire season. He makes scoring look so easy. The James Harden, the Brooklyn Nets, and the heart that they play with, and obviously D'Angelo is well known, but Dinwiddie and Carice are great, and we're seeing the heart and grit of teams like Orlando and the drama that is always seems to pop up with Toronto in the playoffs. So I love it. I don't know about ratings and why people watch or don't watch. I think it's a real shame if the ratings are down. Listen, you know, I poke my fun at LeBron, but at some point, just like Michael, just like Larry, just
right.
like he's going to be gone. You know, we all want him, whether we're lovers or haters of LeBron, we all want him to stay and play at a high level for as long as he can. But, you know, he's not the entire NBA, and I think the ratings will go up as the playoffs continue. And I think I don't understand why people wouldn't watch. I think ratings are they're skewed, and I think that they're misleading. And I think as the series unfolds, I think they'll get better. But we can't depend on LeBron James. We have, you know, the golden child in Steph Curry and, you know, Giannis, the Greek freak. We're going to see how freaky he really is in the long run of the playoffs. He's never done that. So I love it, and I think the NBA is in great shape for when the inevitable passing of LeBron James does happen.
Mike, you mentioned Kevin Durant, and obviously all the talk is of him going to New York. And I know you, I'm sure you want that to happen. What do you think, like what's, I guess two parts, your selling point to Durant and Kyrie? Or who's the duo you want? Because I don't think Durant should go there by himself. He's too sensitive in my opinion.
Well, I don't think he would, I don't think he's going by himself.
What is your dream duo that's realistic, that's within the realm of possibility? And then, you know, how do you think they would be treated in New York, and what do you think they could eventually lead the Knicks to?
I think a duo that would make sense and that mentally works is Kemba and Kevin Durant. I get worried about Kyrie.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, Kyrie's ridiculous, but as great as he is, he keeps that ball in his hand, and I'm a huge fan of Kyrie. But it's just so stagnant, and it's magical to watch. But Jason Tatum, and some of this is Jason Tatum's fault. Listen, he's only a second year player, But Jason Tatum, and it's also he's falling into a system that is the Boston Celtics. But Jason Tatum is become, and this is just, you know, these first few games, he's a spot-up shooter with the Boston Celtics right now.
Right.
And that's because everybody's standing around watching the greatness of Kyrie. But with Kyrie's sort of wishy-washy stuff and Kevin Durant, who could be sensitive, although I think the New York media will give, I think this whole thing of can they deal with it, we'll be so happy. New York and the New York press and the fans of New York will be so happy to have actual champions. We haven't had an actual champion in New York. I don't even know when the last time we had a guy who actually had a ring, who won a ring as a star player in New York. So I think those guys would be good. But I think Kemba being
point.
In New York, being a New Yorker, and his sort of low-key, you know, dog, pit bull, temperament with KD, and I think inevitably Fizdale will be the mouthpiece for both of them, and I think he could handle that. So I think those two would be great if I had it my way. I mean, what is your professional opinions? Because you guys know more than me.
I believe that it's going to be KD and Kyrie. I believe that
wow.
is it. Kyrie is from New Jersey, and him and KD are very close. I just believe that they're going to go there. And Mike, here's the other one. I've told Chris, if the Knicks get the first pick and they get Kyrie and KD, I'm making a trade and I'm going to send that first pick to New Orleans and I'm going to get Anthony Davis. The window, they only got 4 or 5 years to try to win a championship. I'm not waiting around for a rookie to develop or potential over production. I'm going all for it, and those three guys will get me there.
I have no problem with that. If you know, I think Zion has a lot of potential, but I think like the majority of rookies, you know, he's gonna have ups and downs because he's so young. I would not be mad at that. I think that Fizdale would be able to handle that mix, and that would be exciting.
I think, Mike, I might, if I got that scenario, I'd look at everything closely, but I think I'd keep Zion with Kyrie
over
and KD.
AD.
Yeah, here's why. Because that third guy, you mentioned it with Kyrie, and then you got KD. Those are two guys that are going to have a lot of shots and have the ball in their hands a lot of times. That third guy is going to need to be really effective without the ball. And Zion showed that he could do that at Duke. Now, AD might be able to do it, but he's been used to having the ball in his hands a lot or is getting as many shots as he wants for the last 7 years. I think it'd be a heck of a chemistry experiment. If they did it, I mean, it's a great thing problem to have, but I think it'd be an interesting chemistry experiment because one of those three would have to defer and step back. I think Zion would do that. I don't know which of the three would do that of AD, KD, and Kyrie. Kyrie, you'd want the point guard to do it, but that's just not Kyrie.
But can Kyrie, as ball dominant as he is now, he obviously did it in Cleveland, but the guy that we're watching now, will Kevin Durant like that, or will he not be as ball dominant with Kevin Durant? Because, you know, one of the things I was thinking about Durant this morning, I was like, this dude, truly, he's never had green light his whole career. OKC, he'd get it sometimes.
Well, he had it, but yeah, Westbrook was just because of the type of player he was, right? He wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
you didn't have that
type
of point.
And then the system of the Warriors, it's like, but right. You know, this guy hasn't been unleashed, you know, like to his, like he's never had these games where it's like 60 points. He scores so beautifully and so easily. And it's a different type of scoring, but it's like it reminds me of like Alex English, Kiki Vandeweghe, Bernard King.
Yeah,
where there's not
McAdoo.
Dunks,
right?
Yeah, I mean he's just a scoring machine, and I think you know you guys have seen him up close. I think as fans, we really aren't understanding like how tall he is and like the feathery touch and the way the ball goes in the net. Like he's ridiculous, and the OKC departure. And all the other stuff, I really think is skewed. The same way like people get in their feelings about LeBron James, it really skews the greatness of this guy, Kevin Durant. And I mean, I'm just saying that because you know you try to appreciate it while it's happening, and there's no highlights. It's like Kevin Durant is not a highlight reel. He's not a dunker. He's not a crosser over. He's just a get.
He's incredible.
Bucket.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
you're
ridiculous.
Right. It's the iCouple. We're joined by an actor, director, author, and podcast host, Michael Rappaport. Mike, let me ask you about Westbrook. I have said Russell Westbrook is going to go down as an icon. He's going to go down at like 40 years from now. People are going to be like amazed and talking about this guy who averaged a triple-double for three straight seasons. Like first ballot Hall of Famer, all that. But I don't believe he will ever win a championship just because of the way he plays, which is great, but it also has its problems. What is your take on that, on Westbrook?
Well, I don't even think we're going to have to wait 40 years for him to be an icon. I don't believe in these legacies in terms of if you don't get a ring. You look at Barkley, we look at Allen Iverson, we look at Patrick, we look at Karl Malone, Gary Payton.
They're all great players, yep.
Wait, because Gary Payton, he won a ring, but we don't think about that. We think about him being one of the greatest point guards ever in Seattle. So it's like Dame Lillard. You know, whether or not he'll get a ring or Russell will get a ring, you want to see them get rings. He plays so freaking hard. He certainly deserves it. Whether sometimes he makes the best decisions or he's taken advantage of the teams he's had, I don't know. But you know, he's got to figure that out, and he's got to figure out what he wants to do with his career. But as far as icon, Hall of Fame, I call him the Jackson Pollock of the NBA. I mean, you know, outside of Allen and Latrell Sprewell, Russell Westbrook, I mean, is the, watching him play, the heart and grit that he plays with every night, despite some of his decision-making and stuff that, you know, we could bang our head on, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. And, you know, we could say maybe he pads a couple of rebounds and all that stuff. And none of that makes – that triple-double, he don't even need the triple-double. I was sold his first, second year. This guy's – he's sick.
Yep.
Russell Westbrook is sick. And whether or not guys win rings, you know, I know I've said this before with you guys. I call it the Charles Barkley factor. You know, him being on TNT and being teased every night by Kenny Smith, who I love, Queens is in the house.
One
of my favorite players. But he's not in the same league as Charles Barkley.
Not even close.
He's not in the same league as any of the guys I just mentioned. But he'll shut up. He'll shut up Charles Barkley every time he mentions the rings, and I think that's affected a lot of these young players because, like, I don't want to be Charles Barkley. I would. Any of these players should be begging to be looked at the way Charles Barkley.
I'd rather have Charles Barkley's career than Kenny Smith's.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, all that stuff is great, and you know, legacies and all that stuff. I think it has less to do with rings and the impression that this guy, Russell Westbrook, if he never played a game, that he's left on basketball fans, needs no introduction or explanation.
Right.
And hopefully at one point he'll get a ring or not. But he's already left a legacy that he's in a lane. He created a whole lane by himself. And you can't ever try to be like Russell Westbrook because that inner thing that he has, that's not something you could do in a workout, in a gym. You can't copy it. You know, it's just this freaky – just, you know, like he disguises a machine. He plays so hard and relentlessly. It's incredible to watch. Hey, you know, at times it's frustrating.
Mike, last thing. We got 1 minute. Who have you been impressed with in the East? Is it what Boston's done, what Toronto's done? I don't know, Philadelphia. Who have you been impressed with? Milwaukee.
I am going to say, I am a hometown guy. I am going to say I'm impressed with the Brooklyn Nets. That big three that they have, although two of the guys, most basketball fans don't know who they are. I love the grit. That playoff isn't over with Dinwiddie and LeVert and Russell. You know, as far as the East so far, I mean, I like the way the toughness Orlando is playing with, but I think I'm not that impressed with Boston. I mean, ridiculously impressed with the Spurs. We're going to the West. And I'm enjoying this, man. I'm loving it, and I encourage people to put their phones on and watch these games and watch players that you haven't seen and learn about Jamal Murray's and, you know, enjoy these guys because they're emerging and there's great basketball players. and there's great emerging kings on the rise in the NBA.
My man, always great to catch up with
you. The best.
We got to have you in the studio soon.
Anytime you want. Listen, I tell you that, you let me know when the best day is, the best hour. I will come there and rock with you guys for as long as you'll have me. I love you guys. You guys make me laugh. You get the best information. And let's not forget, people listening, Chris Broussard started this whole sources thing that has become a mainstream thing. Chris Broussard started the whole sources thing.
Is that it?
Thank you, my brother.
Look at that. He giving you credit.
My
wow.
That's my man.
That's all right. We got New York ties, Mike. We cool anyway.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Later,
yep,
brother.
No doubt.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
I think Gettleman, Chris, is as bad as it gets as a general manager. I'm serious. Talk about old school and bucking the obvious.
No, I'm with you. He does appear very old school. Number one, he won't even look at Kyler Murray.
Look at him.
Number two, you don't have to pick him,
but you should look at him.
Right. You want to build your team around a running back.
Which doesn't always translate into what? Wins, and what do you need in
most cases? Right. As great as Le'Veon Bell is, as much as I think he'll help the Jets, as great as Ezekiel Elliott is, and he is critical to the Cowboys, but most of the greatest running backs in history, Barry Sanders, O.J. Simpson, Walter Payton when he was in his prime, they didn't win.
Right. Walter Payton.
O.J. Simpson played one playoff game.
Late in his career, he finally won.
But
right.
He wasn't the driving force. But he was really the man.
And they had the nerve to give the ball to
Refrigerator Perry.
Can you believe that?
Ditka. I don't understand it. That was terrible. It was a blowout. You could have got Sweetness and touchdown. Like,
he never scored a right? A it Super Bowl touchdown. Why would you let?
It was bad. But to your point, no. In football, I get it. You know, and I think even in any sport, I don't know that it should be one way or the other all the time. Like, I don't think it can always be in any sport. I don't think it can always be best player. Baseball, yeah. Because you need so many different players.
Right. And like a lot of teams, they'll always,
you
Chris, you know what they
an
do?
Outfielder
but they always take pitching. If a guy can throw hard, because you want to develop pitching is such a big part.
You have
10, 12 pitchers on every team.
Right.
So you're always stockpiling pitchers.
You got to have pitching to win.
You have to.
Football, basketball, I'm not even going to say in basketball, it's always take the best player. The greatest example of a failure of this was when the Portland Trailblazers had Clyde Drexler, who was a Hall of Fame swingman. And they could have taken Michael Jordan in the draft, and they instead took Sam Bowie. What if, though, they had taken Hakeem Olajuwon? You know, he was gone by then. But
he was
I'm just
gone,
saying,
right.
Like,
that would have changed everything.
They would have taken him, and would that have been a failure? I mean, Jordan obviously would have become Jordan, but Hakeem and Drexler probably would have won more rings together.
I don't think everybody knew Jordan. They knew he was a great player.
Right.
But nobody knew him. Am I right,
nobody
Chris?
Nobody could have foreseen
nobody.
What he became.
I'm sorry.
From day one. I mean, he averaged 28 as a rookie. But that's the greatest example everybody points to. But there are other examples where you need to draft need. I'll give you another example. Maybe I'm killing my own argument. I remember when Miami in that famed 2003 draft that included LeBron James, I'll throw him out because he was a second pick, Darko Milicic, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, the Miami Heat chose Dwayne Wade fifth. Now, I thought it was a mistake because they had Eddie Jones and they really needed a point guard. I don't remember who else what point guards were available. But they chose Wade, and I was like, how are you going to play him and Eddie Jones together? Obviously, it was a great pick. The rest is history. But I don't think you can go by one standard rule. It has to be the best player or it has to be need. But in football, when you're dealing with quarterbacks, a whole nother animal.
No,
you've got to take a quarterback. Because if you don't have a great quarterback, you're going to have to build up a heck of a defense to overcome it.
Even then, I'm with you. It's got to be like a record-setting defense.
Right.
In order to get you, and there have been a couple teams that have won without
Bears. There's
Jim
no
McMahon doubt about
was
it.
A quarterback,
exactly, and in Baltimore, right?
Yep, Trent Dilfer,
and in Tampa Bay, when they had that all-time great defense,
Yeah, with Warren Sapp and those guys.
Right. You know, they
Brad
won.
Johnson.
Brad Johnson was the quarterback. Right. So there were a couple of situations, but in the NFL, and that's why Gettleman, I don't get it.
And think about those situations, Rob. All of them are back in the day to a large degree. It's a different NFL now. These dudes are throwing for 5,000 yards.
Yeah, no, this is not your dad's NFL that right. ran the football. They're throwing like never before.
And
like
so,
never before.
Look, Saquon Barkley, and Gettleman used that as an example. Hey, we took the best player available last year, and look
at translate
that.
Into wins.
That's my point. Like he's arguably. I don't agree. I think it's Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley when he's healthy, but Saquon Barkley is arguably the best running back in the NFL. And what'd he do? You got two more wins. You didn't get anywhere near the playoffs.
Because you got all these other issues. And it's not that you don't take him if you can get him. But when you have an age quarterback right. like Eli, that's the difference. If Eli was 5 years younger, that's a layup. It's a layup to make that pick.
I mean, really, like.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And here's the other thing, too, that the Giants, I think, are getting too sentimental. Chris, yes. I can name all the great quarterbacks who finished elsewhere.
Great point.
Right? I mean, come on. Brett Favre moved on. Peyton Manning moved on. Joe Namath, who was a legend in New York when they won the Super Bowl in 1969 and all that, he moved on.
Joe Montana.
No, Joe Montana, another who won 4 Super Bowls.
Yep.
Without losing, all those guys moved
way
on. Yeah,
I mean Namath maybe not, but the three they're all way better,
and they all moved on. And that's my point. You can't live in the past. It's okay. You respect Eli for what he did, but don't hold on to that.
Look, I know this is hindsight, but it was the right thing that they were doing when they benched him. And the timing, you could have done it at a different time. Heck, you could have let him finish out the season because you were done anyway at that point. But they were right to want to move on. And what they did was they responded to the backlash. That's what they did. The owners responded to the fans going crazy. And fans, you shouldn't have went crazy. Eli is done. I like Eli as much as a lot of people. He is a 2-time Super Bowl champion. You'll never be able to take that away from him. And he is clutch, and he is a great human being. But it's time to go. This is football. He's not Tom Brady. He's not going to play till he's 45 years old. I'm sorry.
Nah, I'm with you. And
I don't... you got a kid who threw how many touchdowns did Haskins throw for? 50? In the Big Ten, and you're not even going to give him a look-see?
I think you got to be real careful without at least kicking the tires and checking it out. You know what I mean? You could decide not that you don't want to go with him, but to just turn your head and say, nope, he just doesn't. That could wind up being, and Gettleman with all the moves he's made, and then they just traded OBJ. Yep, you know what I mean? Yep, when you start looking at this team and what he's doing, I have no idea what they're doing.
Well, what is he looking for in a quarterback? I mean, you and I are analysts and all that, but we're not the experts that a Dave Gettleman and his crew of executives and scouts are supposed to be. What are they looking for in a quarterback? Because the reports say they didn't like anybody from last year's draft either. You didn't like Sam Darnold. You didn't like Baker Mayfield. I know he was gone. But you didn't like Josh Rosen. You don't like Dwayne Haskins. You don't like Kyler Murray. Who do you like? What does he have to throw for 10,000 yards in a season in college?
And if you tell me now, you can honestly look and think Sam Darnold and what the Jets are doing, that they're not in a better position than the Giants, I think you're crazy. As far as the future, as you move forward. You didn't like, I'm not saying Sam Darnold's a finished package, but at least they have a quarterback is not an issue for the Jets as we move forward. Am I right? There were times he looked like.
We think he's the guy. He has looked better than any of the Giants, you know, Geno Smith.
And all those other guys.
All the other guys they've had in there. He's looked better than any of them. He looks like he could be your franchise quarterback. That's all you can ask.
That's it. That's what you want. And he's a young guy who's learning.
What do they need to see? That's like, who is going to be the quarterback that they like?
I don't know. I don't get it. I'm trying to find out.
I would trade for Josh Rosen right now. Second round?
But that
second round pick, they don't want to give up a first or a second.
But not only are they saying no that Eli might be back, but that they might sign him to an extension.
It's ridiculous.
Huh?
It is utter nonsense.
Ridiculous.